I think over this past week, the interesting part has been just the first signs of something that was always going to happen. That was the sort of capping out of very high inflation in places like the United States first. So we had it with their July CPI reading that came out last week, and it was flat for the month. You know, this was helped obviously by the pullback running through petrol prices in particular, some food prices coming back a bit too. And so as a result of that, the annual inflation rate came down to 8.5% from 9.1%. And importantly, it was a bit below market expectations as well. And that was also true of the core CPI, taking out the volatile items. So the market was looking for July CPI to be up 0.5%. It was up only 0.3%. Net result was that rather than the core inflation rate going up a little bit further to 6.1 from 5.9, it actually held at 5.9 and is now a very strong possibility to come down over the next few months. When I say come down, this is always going to happen because you go back to this time last year, that was the peak of the supply chain problems. The demand for goods was coming through fast and furious from time to time too as they took off restrictions in various economies after COVID. So it wasn't unusual to get monthly CPI readings which were well above 1% month on month. Now, for a period, we're going to be replacing that now over the next few months with much lower CPI readings. So we are going to pull this inflation rate down quite fast. And it was there too in the producer price index reading that we got for the month of July, which came out later in the week. This sort of reinforced people's expectations that, inflation's beaten off the top now. It's going to start to come down. And we saw the PPI actually fell by 0.5%. That brought the annual rate of change in the PPI down to 9.8% from 11.3%. So quite a big reduction running through the annual rate there. And the core PPI, or producer price index, that was up only 0.2%. The market was looking for a 0.4% increase. So that brought the annual change down to 7.6 from 8.4. Now, what's the Fed do with this? That's the important question. It should be looking further forward to where is this all going to base out, because base out it will at some point, where you see that annual inflation rate coming down to a level where it just doesn't fall much further, given the underlying inflation pressures which are running through the US economy. And the underlying inflation pressures running through the US economy are still pointing to a base that's somewhere around the 4-ish, maybe even towards 5% mark. So it's not likely to come down too much less than that. That's what the Fed should be focusing on in terms of what it does with monetary policy. But if it uses this quite rapid fall in inflation to take its foot off the brake, there's a real risk that it allows the economy to build up steam again, and we end up with a second round of monetary policy tightening at some point in the more distant future, in the second part of 2023. So in a way, we've got a fair bit of uncertainty which is creeping in because of what's happening now, on top of all the uncertainty we've had for months and months and months now. So just watching how this all develops over the course of the next few months. In terms of the economy, is it really slowing that much? Well, we had didn't have a lot of data out last week, but what we had was still relatively strong. So for example, we had the preliminary reading of August's consumer sentiment came out, and it actually went up to 55.1. That was more than expected, from 51.5. Now, that's not a particularly strong reading, but this is the first time we've had a reasonable size lift in consumer sentiment over recent months. So if anything, the economy might be getting a bit of second wind. The other thing that lends to the strength that's still running through some of these underpinnings for inflation longer term, we had second quarter unit labor costs came out. And these have been running phenomenally high in the US. And these, rather than the inflation rate, were actually on the high side of expectation. They came in at 10.8% in the second quarter. That was after a 12.7% lift going back to the first quarter. So you've got a hell of a lot of pressure still running through the cost side of the U.S. economy. So it really is going to be an interesting mix. You know, the market rejoices if it thinks that the Fed's taking its foot off the brake, but it sort of lays in store a bigger problem further down the track. And so just watching how this all pans out. This week in the U.S., we get a lot of the regular housing data. You know, the housing data is coming back to some degree. We get the National Association of Home Builders Index comes out today for the month of August. It was down to 55 going back to July. It's expected to hold at 55. You know, go back a few months, this is running in the 60s and 70s, so you know, there's certainly some pullback running through that. It's still not deeply depressed. You know, to have to get below 50 for it to be showing real weakness, but you know, we're not too far off that now. We get July home building permits, we get housing starts coming out, we get existing home sales coming out. All of those are expected to be pretty soft. Yeah, these are the most interest rate sensitive part of the U.S. economy. So home building permits, month of July, they come out on Tuesday night. They're expected to be down about 3.3% after being down 0.1, after being up 0.1 going back the month before. Housing starts expected to be down 1.2% after being down 2% the month before. And existing home sales going back to June were down 5.4%, expected to be down by 4.7%. We also this week get some retail sales data coming out. That has been strong. And so the market thinks there might be a little bit of a dip running into July. Going back to June, we had a 1% month-on-month increase in both retail sales and core retail sales. Market's looking for a 0.1% increase in retail sales for the month of July. See what happens with that one. And we also get the minutes of the last Fed meeting. Remember that last Fed meeting was a 75 basis point increase, and they were giving sort of mixed hints in that one that, yeah, they're still going to work to get on top of the inflation problem, but there was no guarantee that they would continue to raise rates the way they did going back to the last meeting. So you know, we might get some colour around how they're treating this latest pullback in inflation, although that came after the Fed, so it might be in anticipation of that starting to occur. Chinese data last week, we had some CPI data and PPI data. CPI in China just went up, but not as much as the market expected. The market was expecting the CPI to lift to 2.9% year-on-year from 2.5. It was 2.7, you know, by anybody else's standard. That's still very, very low. Producer prices, they lifted about as the market expected. They expected producer price index inflation to come back. It was at 6.1% year-on-year going back to June. It's come down to 4.2%. And the story of the Chinese economy, of course, is still that it's going through a very soft phase. Part of that's to do with its property construction sector, which is still in disarray, and, of course, the way in which they're dealing with COVID, which is still keeping the economy on a softer footing for the time being. And we'll probably get another marker of that with the readings we get out today at lunchtime. We get the usual run of statistics that come out of China all at once for the month of July. They'll be out, over lunchtime, our time today. And amongst those, we get July house prices. That house prices are not only falling in China, they're now down on a year-on-year basis. So the most recent reading is minus 0.5% year-on-year. That'll probably be worse when we get the July reading. If you went back to this time last year, they were rising at 11% year-on-year. So it's been a really savage decline that's been running through the housing sector there in the U.S. In China. We also get industrial production data, retail sales data, and fixed asset investment spending, which is largely building construction data. All of this, some of it lifting a little bit off its low levels of recent months, but not strong by historical Chinese standards. So fixed asset investment spending, which should be the strongest because it's there's quite a few initiatives which are running through to local government to try and offset some of the weakness, which is running through the residential construction sector. That is expected to lift a little to 6.3% year on year from 6.1% month of July. Industrial production up a little to 4.6% from 3.9%, and retail sales are expected to lift a little to 5% from 3.1% year on year. So watching to see if that comes through, but essentially the Chinese economy is coming through pretty slowly after its very, very weak phase running through most of the way through Q2. In Australia last week, we had a mix of data, really. It was business conditions and sentiment are actually improving. That's notwithstanding the fact that interest rates are going up. So it gives you some idea of the residual strength which is still running through the Australian economy. We had the NAB survey, July business conditions and business confidence. Business conditions went up to a really strong plus 20 from plus 13. And business confidence went up from a revised plus 2. It was originally plus 1. Going back to June to plus 7. So if anything, businesses are getting, they're pretty not too worried by what's happening on the interest rate front. They're seeing some very good profitability and are still sort of, if anything, they're saying that things are getting better. So we're seeing some strength running through the business survey. It's not the same for consumer sentiment. So we had the August Westpac consumer sentiment survey came out. It fell by 3% going back to the month of July. It fell another 3% for the month of August. But the paradox about this is that we're not seeing it yet in actual retail sales figures. Retail sales figures are actually holding up in Australia. So we'll watch that one. Obviously, it's a risk when you're seeing these sorts of sentiment figures that things can come down a bit. But we're not really seeing it yet. And Australia, we had the RBA, this week in Australia, we have the RBA minutes coming out on Tuesday, so it'll give us some idea about RBA thinking. Obviously their last interest rate increase was a 50 basis points, and they're promising more ahead, dependent on the data, as I think their wording. On Wednesday and Thursday, we get some pretty important readings. They relate to both wages and also the labour market. And the risk is that these are still pretty strong. So as far as the wage price index is concerned, we may get, this one won't have the minimum wage case in yet because the minimum wage adjustment of 5.2% didn't come through till July the 1st. So that's into Q3. So these are Q2 numbers. But even then it was sort of drifting a little bit higher, we think. So the quarter-on-quarter lift was 0.8% up from 0.7%. And that will be enough to take the year-on-year lift in wages from 2.4 to 2.7. Now, in some reckoning, that's weak still because, you've got an inflation rate which is running at 6.1. So you've still got a fall in real wages. But remember, we should be looking ahead. Wages, once they start to move upwards, will keep moving upwards at this pace or stronger for quite some time. And it's where that annual wage rate's going to be in a year's time. Relative to the inflation rate then. And rather like the US, our inflation rate is going to come off quite a bit as we go over the course of the next year. And so it's highly likely that we'll be down well and truly into the fours, maybe even a little bit less for the inflation rate by this time next year. The way the wage price index is going, if you're 0.8 in this current quarter, or not really current, but for Q2, and that starts to get up towards ones, wages are going to be running at that 4% inflation rate. That's going to keep inflation higher than where the Reserve Bank wants it to be. So that's something we have to bear in mind. And what would be driving that is the tightness in the labour market. And that's what we'll see with the labour force data coming out on Thursday. We get employment, the participation rate and the unemployment rate. Going back to the month of June, for the second month in a row, we had way bigger than expected lift in employment. We got an 88,400 lift. In July, I think the market's thinking, well, we're probably going to get some sort of pullback from that it won't be quite as strong. So they've got an expectation of 25,000. But even on 25,000, if the participation rate stays at its record high of 66.8%, that still leaves us with the unemployment rate down at 3.5%. So it's still an extraordinarily tight labour market. So, you know, this is the pressure point for the RBA. They do have some pressure which is running potentially towards wages. But, you know, some people say, yeah, but wages have never moved in the past. We've got institutional factors here which keep it very low. We don't have to worry so much about that, but it's problematic. And so, the other thing that's running for the RBA too is that they probably won't get that same force that's running for the Fed at the moment, where you're starting to see inflation peak and come down. Our inflation peak coming down still a few months ahead of us. It will come down pretty powerfully when it does, because you can already see what's happened to petrol prices when you get a little bit less demand. And you can see that some fresh food prices are now starting to come down pretty rapidly. When they come down too, remember the last time they were going up by a sharp amount, so it pours a hell of a lot out of the CPI. We got some mixed pressures there for the RBA too. You know, should they keep tightening at the current pace? Should they pause? And this is the risk I'm starting to look for, the next twist in the economic outlook, where we've had many twists over the course of this year. But the next one might be a two-phase monetary policy tightening phase, where the central banks take their foot off too quickly in terms of where they intend to take interest rates. The economies get second wind, and next thing you know, we've got another monetary policy tightening phase ahead of us in the second half of 2023. That's not in conventional forecasts at the moment, but that's the next twist that could be coming. So it's just watching towards what might happen next. In Europe last week, we had both the Centix Investor Confidence Survey, still pretty soft. This is for August, minus 25.2 from minus 26.4. And we also had June industrial production. That's still running very strongly in Europe. It was up another 0.7% month on month after being up 2.1% month on month. So, you know, some residual strength there in sort of factory production in Europe. This week in Europe, we get revised Q2 GDP. We get the latest CPI. Their CPI is going to be stickier and higher for longer. There's a number of factors for that. The first one really is food prices, particularly seasonal food prices in Europe, have been hit for six by devastating drought over there. You see it all the time on the news. It's been ridiculously hot, and it's dried out most of the seasonal crops. So they've got almost the opposite problem of us. We had our problem with the flood. Now we're getting over that, so we're starting to get some supply. That hasn't started yet in Europe, so they've still got some pressure points there for inflation rate. So the CPI, when it comes out for July, is going to be pretty high, around 8.9% year on year. We also get a revision of second quarter GDP, I don't think there'd be too much of a revision. It was a surprise on the high side at 0.7% quarter on quarter, 4% year on year. It'll probably remain at that, but nothing really to change market sentiment much coming out of Europe. But for the rest of us, it's going to be an interesting time. Will it be central banks blinking, taking their foot off the brake for the time being because they're blinded by some short-term factors bringing the inflation rate down? If that thinking continues, it's conceivable that we could get financial markets, rather than being in facing some risk, starting to melt up. They're already starting to do that, but the way that we've been seeing over the course of the past month. But in this highly volatile year, very hard to call. It's the underlying economic outlook itself has been subject to many, many changes over the course of this highly volatile year. And there could be another one in the making with the way in which central banks react to nearer-term downward pressure and inflation, first of all in the US, and coming here at some point, either in Q3 or Q4.